Good evening, all our friends out there. How are we tonight? We are Trinity Metaphysical, and we are Ecrypt, and we are here live tonight from...
Trinity.
Oh, what's the address, Jackie?
3617 Route 23 South, Hamburg, New Jersey.
And the phone number?
973-209-7070.
So we are live from this location. Stop in, say hi, call up, whatever you want to do, but we are here tonight for you. Tonight, we have me, Mark,
Diane,
and
Jackie
in the store tonight. A couple of our other friends could not make it due to illness, so we wish them Godspeed to a healthy recovery. Apparently, that's going to have a little fun with our show, but guess what? We're still going to do what we wanted to do. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to the live EVP session that we talked about last week, but we hopefully do have some interesting stuff for you tonight. So, really quick, the first part of our show tonight, we want to talk about what we do in the group, what our specialties are, what do we like to run with. So first, I'm going to turn it over to our leader and fearless companion here, Jackie.
What do I do? When I do the investigations, I use my intuitive side. So what I do when I go around in my little mini group is I give them any information I get from any of the spirits who have crossed over, any feelings I'm getting, anything that they might be saying to me, or if I see anything. And usually when I'm in my group, what they do is they videotape from two different angles. They videotape me, and then they also use a lot of pieces of equipment that will pick up possible, you know, EMF readings, and sometimes they use the ghost box, sometimes they use the K2 meter. Each of us use a recorder in case one doesn't pick up anything. A lot of times what I do when I do the investigations is I'll say what I'm hearing, and then a lot of times it'll come up on the recorder. So if I say, you know, he's saying his name is Andrew, and then you hear an EVP that says Andrew, at least it's validated or confirmed, you know, more than once. So Diane's worked with me a few times, and so have you.
A couple times that we had some fun together. Now, how did you get into this?
I've been doing this since I was 17. It was just interesting. I was always interested in ghosts and spirits. And, you know, I lived in Vernon, and there's a lot of areas there where people feel there's a lot of hauntings. And when I was a teenager, you know, my friends and I would go, you know, looking for ghosts. Of course, back then we were scared silly when we thought we saw something. But, you know, it always stuck in with me. I didn't really get big into ghost hunting, obviously, until, you know, maybe, what was it, 6 years ago? We're actually forming a group and making a team and doing it professionally, but being involved and interested in ghosts and the spirit world and the paranormal, that I've always been interested in. So Ecrypt doesn't do just the ghost hunting. We like to, you know, talk about the UFOs and the big feet.
The big foot. Yes, the Bigfoot that used to always go after a previous member of ours.
Yeah,
he's always scared of Bigfoot catching
up
to
him. We'll have a show where we have a couple of those members come in that feel they have some interesting stories.
Nice. Now, sitting to my left is the ever lovely and stately Diane.
It's a good thing this is radio. Yes, Mark. Oh, do you want to know how I got involved?
I
want
to know how you get into this whole thing.
I've always been interested. I love ghost stories. I used to read all kinds of ghost story books when I was a kid. And my father and my uncle had experienced it. I always enjoyed their stories, even though I remember once my uncle telling me about something he saw as a child and my grandmother sitting there going, oh, you just had a nightmare, like, you know, any mother would.
Mm-hmm.
And he got so insulted. I did not. But... So I've always wanted to do that. And then, you know, with the plethora of shows on TV, you know, I never miss any of them. And when I lived in California, I had the pleasure of staying in an actual haunted house a week. I don't think the people who lived there might have known it, but boy, it was, talk about activity, and I thought it was great. But when I came out here and I moved to Pennsylvania, I just happened to see that on Halloween they were doing a public ghost hunt. So I called up and I said, I'd like to come. And they said, sure. And so I've been doing, that was 3 years ago? 3 years ago.
Yeah, almost four.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I said, you know, it was a lot of fun. And they asked me if I wanted to keep on doing it. I said, yeah, sure. I've seen some things like orbs and stuff like that, but I want to see a full body apparition, and then I'll be, I haven't seen one of those yet.
Let me get up and dance.
Except the guy at work.
The guy at work?
Yeah.
What about this guy at work?
I don't know. I was coming back from the copy machine, and there was a guy sitting at my desk. And I work in an all-woman office and wasn't expecting to see him. And I jumped back and nearly fell into somebody. And they said, what's the matter? And I said, there was somebody sitting right there at my desk. And so I don't know who that was yet, but he was sitting there looking at me. It was weird.
Nice.
But yeah, but to me, it's not. Everybody always asks me, you know, aren't you ever scared? And it doesn't scare me. I don't know why. I just think it's fascinating. I think because of my love of history and my interest in genealogy research, the idea of being able to contact and communicate with somebody who lived at a different time is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. That's so awesome.
I just wish I could carry on like a long conversation, like, you know, what did you eat? What did you know? How'd you cook dinner? You know, things like that.
What are the winning lottery numbers?
Yeah.
Also, Diane works a lot with the pendulum. She's one of the investigators that uses the pendulum to communicate with. She's
pendulum,
very good with
huh?
that.
How, for our listeners out there in radio land, does that work?
You know, I'm not sure how it works. I know how I've been told it works.
How do you do it, then?
How do I do it? You can only get yes or no answers, so your questions have to be kind of specific, and, you know, you don't get multi-word answers and stuff. But I usually like to say that some people have them decide which way it's going to go, but I like to tell them. So I like back and forth for no and a nice big circle for yes, or even a little circle. And then I just ask a question. Sometimes I don't even say it out loud. I just ask it in my head. And see which way the pendulum moves. Sometimes it doesn't move at all.
Do you ever feel that sometimes your questions are being influenced by something?
Not by me. Because I have tried, like, if I wanted a yes, I've actually tried to do that. Mm. Like, say, I want the answer to be yes. I want the answer to be yes. And that's not what I get, you know.
Well, I mean more of like, well, some people, or, well, Jackie will pick something up and she says, well, I'm getting a message from something and telling me this. Now, what if you're doing something and it knows it's only going to get a yes or no answer out of this pendulum? So it's going to influence you, almost like a little voice in your head saying, ask a question about this.
No.
No, you never get a thought like that?
But the questions I ask, you know, influence the next question. Like if I'm trying to determine an age range, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'll start with something and, like, are you older than 20? Or, you know, if they say no, then I start working back, of course, you know, logically.
And there have been a few times where Diane and I have worked together where I might get some information and I'll say what I'm hearing and then she'll say the pendulum is showing yes as well. And then when we listen back to the EVPs on the voice recorder, it's verifying both of us, which is great.
Oh, once, remember, I was getting that there was a woman in the room and you were getting a man, mm-hmm. and they were actually both.
Yep.
With a little family.
So I you know, I was kind of like, I was wondering if maybe I was wrong with that. But when I first started using it, I was kind of skeptical about how accurate it was. But then after a while, I just started trusting what it was giving me, and I have had verification on several occasions. So now I basically just go with it. And whatever it tells me, it tells me. So.
Yeah. Well, usually when we do an investigation, we don't, you know, the biggest thing is going in and not expecting anything. You know, you always want to go in with a clear head and, I want to say an empty mind, but you know what I mean. You don't want to have any preconceived, you know, things in your head, and you want to just sit there and be open to receiving whatever it is you want to get. And most of our investigators on the team now, every single one of them has an intuitive side. So a lot of them can hear things or see things. you know, and that type of thing.
So now it's Mark's turn.
So he can say how he got involved.
Wow. I got into this completely on a lark. It was around my birthday a couple years back, sitting in my newly purchased home up in West Milford or Hewitt, New Jersey, and I'm reading through the local paper, and I see this thing that says, be a ghost hunter. Now, I am probably the worst person for a candidate for a ghost hunter you'd ever find because, A, I watch none of those shows, and, B, I go on screaming when I'm doing the EVPs when I'm, like, you know, going over my stuff. But, yeah, usually it ends up, like, you know, running into the bed. My wife's like, you heard something. I'm shivering. I'm like, yeah, I did. I'm going to bed now. I'm not doing this crap anymore. And then next day, I'm like, guess what I got? But, no, again, I saw the thing in the paper. I said, look at this. I'm going to be a ghost hunter. I said, I'll go there. All these people are going to be nuts. I'm going to make fun of them. I'm going to feel so much better about myself. It's going to be like watching the Maury Povich show. I go there, and they were all nuts, but they were all nuts like me. And that was the cool thing. Like, well, I kind of fit in. So I'm doing the classes, and I'm like, this stuff's kind of cool. And I'm flying out, there's a little scientific element about it. It's not like what you see on TV where everyone just kind of runs around. Did you hear that? Did you see that? And you didn't see anything, but of course, you know. So I got into it, took the classes, you know, passed the test. And I said, would you like to be in the group? I'm like, cool. Asked my wife's permission because I can't get anything past her yet. She said, go for it. So then I did it, and everything else is just pretty much history. What I like to do is I love the EVPs. I love hearing the voices. And what I find now is when a couple people in the group, they're having problems, like, what is this? What is this? They give it to me. So I kind of like became like the de facto EVP person. And I, like, a lot of people go and, like, they have the white noise generators and they have the crazy programs. I use just a simple Sony digital recorder, Tascam mic. It's actually on the site. When you go on, you'll see a picture of my gear. There's also my K-meter in there and a little itty-bitty-bitty-bitty compass. I'll get into that in a second. But I'll do that. And then I get home at night. Everybody's going to tell you, oh, you got to do Audacity, you got to do this, you got to do that. I just take it in a VLC, turn out all the lights, close my eyes, put a pair of headphones on, hold them tight, and just listen.
That's all I do.
And I catch the stuff that people go, what? I mean, I'll go for the smallest little whisper. I'll go, that's the stuff I want. I want the really hidden stuff. Anybody can get, like, the big loud screaming voices. I want that little tiny stuff that's really, really quiet. That's what I like to catch. And when I do, it's great. Now, when it says your name, then it's freaky. And it says someone else's name 3 seconds before you validate that name, that's freaky. When it says things like Pino, I still have to figure out what that is. That was a great EVP. Pino, what are you talking about? But that's it. That's
maybe
what
it was
I like
a wine.
Do. And maybe it was a wine. I was listening for the Grigio afterwards, but I didn't hear it. Now, the other thing I like to do is I have, as you look on the website, you'll see it's a picture of a little itty-bitty compass. Now, what I like about that compass is you always ask things, you know, can you move this, can you move that? That compass now, it's floating on a nice stable thing, and that's influenced by the Earth's magnetic field. That's very lightweight stuff. So just a slight fluctuation in that magnetic field will move that compass. A slight fluctuation in the magnetic field will also key on our, what kind of meters do we have?
The EMF meters.
The EMF meters, yes.
Yep.
So it's a double validation. And what I'll do is while I'm doing my EVPs, I'll have my little compass in the center, and I'll have my EMF meter on one side, you know, everything's off the other side. And I'll actually take something and I'll ask a question and I'll put it by the compass and I'll see it move. So that's my saying, hey, listen, the compass does move, it does work. Then when I ask the question, like, hey, can you play with the compass and you see the compass spin? That's gold, baby. Just gold. You know you got something good. But so that's me. That's my story. That's how I got into it. It is fun. It is really, really fun. Because you never know what you're gonna find. And again, like, I love the fact that when we go to places, we work in people's houses, we work in people's homes. We don't have these big name venues that we do where everyone's always finding the same thing. We're finding something personal. You know, sometimes we go in and the person says, I got something here. If you find it, you know, can you try to get rid of it? Yep, try. Sometimes we go to some places and, hey, you know, whatever it is, just let it know. I'm cool with it. It does its thing. Mm-hmm. I do my thing. I'm happy, and that's fine too, but it's a personal thing. It's like a one-on-one interface helping these people out. And that's why now I think I was drawn to this, because once I find out we do something like that, that's what I love, and it's helping people. And
yeah, and a lot of groups, they would rather do the bigger historical. I mean, we do businesses and, you know, restaurants and historical places, but we mix them in between. We usually mainly do private homes.
Yeah.
I love doing the private homes.
Yeah.
I love finding out what's there and why they're there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody can go out and try to channel and find Harry Houdini. I want to find Gus Gusterson, Mr. of Gustersonville, that had this minuscule little life and just this little itty-bitty part in a big, huge machine. I want to know about that. I want to see that.
Yep.
That's cool stuff. That's cool stuff. But so that's us. That's me. Now, with past hunts we've been on, there's always like a fun little story about stuff. Now, you guys, with me, I mean, I'm in and out half the time, so I miss a lot of the good things. But
yeah, Mark's in the Merchant Marine, so he's in for, you know, a couple months, out for a couple months. So sometimes he misses some. We try to, if it's a big one and we can schedule it around, we try to make it so that he's able to do it.
Nice. But there have been times, and I've come back, and I've heard all the exciting things about it, and I've done some fun stuff, too, where guys like, oh, I got this on tape, got this on video, this crazy thing happened. That's the kind of stuff we have. Now, unfortunately, the way Blog Talk's working out right now, I don't want to put an EVP out there and have it sound kind of like tinny, or because the way it compresses it. So when we put our stuff out there, we're going to put up good, solid stuff.
They can go to the website.
The website is actually, yes, you can go to the website. And tonight I linked our website to our page. So the actual eCrypt website is what you're going to see. You can click on it and you can see some of our stuff. You can see the pictures of orbs galore and EVPs up the wazoo. It's good times. But what I want to hear from Jackie and Diane are some of the cool hunts that we've done.
We've done a bunch of cool hunts. If you want private homes,
I want to know what really got you going.
I think one of the ones that stick in my mind is one we did in Sparta, which was one you were on, which was supposed to be one of the most negative ones we've done.
Ooh.
That,
yeah.
And I know, because I think you were in my group.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was one we had to be careful on, because, you know, the homeowners were very frightened. There were two homeowners, actually, two homes that were next to each other, and they had something, you know, really bothersome there and scary, and it was affecting them, and that's been one of the ones that stick in my mind, mainly because of some of the things we picked up, you know, not just EVP-wise, but that were verified for us by him, but just our own experiences there as well. So it was probably one of the...
Is that the one with the historical stuff that... that happened near the property?
Yeah, that was the one where it actually had some, you know, a girl who had, you know, passed away there.
I was in my head thinking the one over the bar.
No, that was in Chihuahua.
That was the one, remember we were playing with something in the basement?
Mm-hmm.
I borrowed...
It was a small kid.
I went and I borrowed a thermal camera from the fire department. These things are great. You could see through walls upon walls upon walls. Put your hand down, it stays there. I mean, this is real high-quality stuff. The only problem is it doesn't record. So everything you can see was just right then and there. And we actually saw the footprints. It was the footprints of somebody walking across the floor. We saw something moving. It was... I'm getting chills just talking about it
now. Yeah, we got some cool stuff in there.
That girl was fun.
There was a girl that had been murdered on the property, and one of the things we found out was not only did we get it on the EVPs with her saying who she was, but it also came up, her last name came up on the equipment, on whatever that was, whether it was the ghost box or whatever it was that one of the voice boxes where it speaks out. And, you know, she just died a traumatic death. She needed to be crossed over. So that was a great one.
That was a happy one.
I mean, we just got, you know, just... being that we got everything verified, whether it be what I got her saying and it was verified, or whether the equipment was pulling up the names. At the time, one of the investigators had looked up all the information on that, and I didn't know who she was or what exactly happened or her name or anything. So it was great, is the name that I got her giving me and the name that came up on, I believe it was, whoever, Charlie's equipment or Dave's, they were the same, which was great. So it was like, you know, two verifications on, well, three, once we looked up the old newspaper article afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And then the homeowner verified everything. That mm-hmm. was probably the biggest thing on that one.
Yeah, that is the cool thing. We get that verification right out there.
It's an exciting investigation when you have, when you have all those allegations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was one of the good ones. And we've had some great ones historical, too. We did the Shanley Hotel. We had so much evidence.
That was
there.
So cool when Jonathan said hi to me.
That was my first time seeing a full-bodied apparition that solid. And I was working with Ron, who was our tech mm-hmm. manager. And
Godspeed, Ron.
We were doing like a walkthrough, but I was just showing him the room. And we walked up in the room, and this little boy was stepping out of the closet, and all of a sudden we were both looking at him, and you saw the little boy just step right back in the closet. And I remember looking at Ron going, "Did you see that?" And he just said, "Yep." And we didn't flip out or anything, because it was just so amazing to even see it. It was so cool. But that hotel is so haunted. There were so many neat things that happened at that one. And so many spirits trying to communicate with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Diane and I both got a validation. We weren't even in the same group, the same information.
Yeah, we were in different groups and were several hours apart. And in one room, she got told about Andrew. Andrew gave his name, and he told her to take a picture. And she had a picture of an orb. And when she was showing it, a nice big bright one, and she was showing it to me, and I went, "Oh! I got the same picture in the mm-hmm. same room, same place."
Yep.
There was, and I said, "That's the first time I've ever been able to put a name to an orb before."
Yep. And then he had this big book with all the history of the past events that happened there. And I went through that whole book that night to find and see if there was an Andrew that had stayed there or been associated with the hotel. And sure enough, I kept getting him, and he was wearing some kind of uniform, and he had some heart, like a breathing issue. And sure enough, there was an Andrew Shanley in the book
mm-hmm.
who died from pneumonia, and he worked as a chef or something in the city. So, like, the book validated everything we were getting.
Didn't his name come up on the EVP, too?
Yes. He says, "My name is Andrew."
Yeah.
Nice. I love when stuff like that happens.
Because I think on the EVP, you can hear you say, you know, he said his name is Andrew.
Yeah, he goes, "Andrew."
Yeah.
So,
but you can hear that. It was
yeah, kind of that one we can get up. I know we have those. But we have a lot. I mean, we've had so many, you know, great investigations, you know, at places. Do you have any favorites,
Diane? The one time when I was in that old barn in the dark, and they came up in front of me.
Oh, the barn
and
now?
just kind of floated down and then went through the wall. And I just sat there watching it going, "Oh, my." but that's probably as close as to an apparition that I've been able to.
That was a great one, though. We were watching
the yeah. But I always get the good guy in the attic. You get the bad guy. I've always talked to the original owner that built the house in the attic. And he's the one that talks to me. Jackie gets the
one who's not very nice.
The one who jumped her out of the
chair.
That
is actually on our website.
Mm-hmm.
He has a tendency of pushing me off the chair. Both times we were there.
Nice.
Which was cool.
Well, you getting tossed off the chair is nice. Awesome. That's gold, baby. That's TV gold. That's gold,
like
Jerry. Just gold.
He doesn't like to talk.
But more than seeing things, sometimes I've heard things, you know, mm-hmm. like my ears are better than...
Or even here. We had great investigations here in the store. I mean, there were some of them where we had an EVP every 2 minutes. There were, you know, somebody different in every room. You know,
nice.
There was another house that I was in the third group to go into the kitchen, and we had our meters, and nothing was happening. And I said, "All right, I understand you're probably tired from everybody coming in asking you questions." I said, "I'll tell you what, if you can just make those meters go off, we'll leave and we'll leave you alone." And those meters just pegged to the red and then shut down again, and everybody looked around and went, "I
okay.
guess we got to go."
Yep.
So that was pretty cool.
I have a couple. I can't say I have one, I mean, there's ones I've liked more than others. There's some that's been like, I just feel like I was alone for the ride. There's some I was like, ooh, man, I did something good. I love the chair that you brought back from the farm.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the investigations of the year.
Yeah, you probably heard me talk about
it. I apologize for that.
No. What happened was we had this chair to come back, and like no one knows what the chair is. So apparently,
I thought it was one of ours.
Yeah,
I
was
one, backed it up.
And it wasn't like this old, weird-looking something from the
1740s. No, it was just a folding.
It was just this regular folding chair. Like
canvas
ones. Yeah, like Walmart or something. So now I get a picture from Jackie. She says, look what's going on in my store. And right to the left of me is this big wicker, eerie-looking chair that I would never sit in.
It's a Morticia chair.
Yes,
hey,
it's like an Elvira thing. And she sends me a picture, and the chair's in the middle of the room, and all the stuff is stacked on top of it. So I look at it, and the first thing I'm thinking is, okay, you didn't put anything away from the other night. She goes, no. That's what I walked into. I'm like, what? That's what I walked into. And the first thing I can think of is Carol Ann's going to be, you know, shooting out of a TV somewhere. That's Poltergeist, man. So we come to the store. I said, listen, we got to do an investigation in this store. And this store is a hotbed also. What's needs going to be is like, you get here, and there's just like portals here, there's everything here, so you're always going to find something. But what this thing was doing, it turns out, was kind of being like the ringleader. It's like rallying up all the troops and making them do its own bidding. But it wasn't negative, but it wasn't positive. It was kind of just a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it's just ornery.
Yeah, he's a cranky old man guy. So we said, all right, let's do this thing. So we go. And we're in the one back room over here, which is the hottest room in this place. I mean, activity-wise, that it's now we're in there, and we have all the meters out, and everything's going. And so we're talking about it, and we're getting some kind of like message that has to do with this chair. So I sit down, and of course, I'm like the bait. And I'm like, nothing kind of scares me. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. Great. And I say, is it cool to bring a chair in? And every K2 meter and everything with a beep and a buzzer, and it is like somebody hit the jackpot. I'm waiting to see coins fly down. It's going nuts. So we get the chair, we bring it in. You know, stuff's going crazy. Everything is starting to calm down. So, again, I'm looking at it and thinking, wouldn't it be cool to screw with this thing? So on the EVP, you hear me say, hey, do you mind if I sit in a chair? Is that cool? And I sit in the chair, and again, everything goes nuts. So here's the part when I talked about earlier before about running, screaming into the bed, and, you know, shivering like a little kid. I'm downstairs, I have all the lights out, listening to this thing, you know. I'm on my fourth Mountain Dew of the night, all hyped up. And I hear my voice say, hey, can I sit in the chair? Is that cool? And you hear, no. And at that point, I hit pause. Took the headphones off. Bolted up the stairs. That was it. But that is probably one of the coolest, because sitting in the chair,
yeah,
you feel something.
Here.
I mean, you were like...
We got rid of the chair.
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't get rid of the chair.
No, you left it a piece off.
No. Oh, well, here's what we did. So, you know, this goes back to the old Italian. I mean, you can't just, you know, you have to give it something. We took it back to... Actually, I took it back, driving into my truck, looking at the back, thinking something's going to pop out of this thing. And I said, listen, I need to give it something I love to let it know that it's okay. So we told it, you know, you have to go back with the chair. We'll take it back to the farm. You know, take a little puppy out. Like, yeah, like a truck. I look around. You know, there's no ghost trucks coming down. They hit me. I take the chair out. I unfold it. And I say, listen, you here. I'm going home. You can't come back with me. But to make sure it's all cool, I pulled out a Slim Jim because I love Slim Jim. I literally went to the gas station. I bought two of those monster sticks. It was monster garlic sticks.
Oh,
so I'm keeping the vampires away, too. Bought two of those. One was for me, which got devoured in the car in about 30 seconds.
Yeah, garlic.
Yeah, and I took the other one. I opened it up. I put it down.
One for Dracula.
I said, that's for you. That's for you. And, yeah, that was a fun one. Another one that comes to mind was, I'm trying to think now, over the bar.
Yeah,
Chipola. We were at a house. It was an over bar.
It was an apartment.
It was an apartment over a bar. So now the whole time there's music playing downstairs, and you know, we're all joking around. Hey, we should go check out downstairs. You know, see if the bar's okay. But we walk around, and now we were told from the beginning that it's something that it's not happy, that it might be something negative. So of course, when we did the energy balancing that you do. The energy work. The balance is out to make sure we're good. No, excuse me.
Yeah, we tend to do that before the really negative ones.
Oh, yeah. So we're going around, and what happens was there was a little girl in this house, and like whoever was there was throwing stuff at this girl. Then the plates are flying off. So we're going around, I'm doing my EVPs, you know, getting some of the compass moving. And so now we're in this other room. And this room is what happened was the child would look up and just stare at a point in the ceiling and cry, and scream like in fear. Okay, there's something interesting about this. So we're in this room, and I got my video recorder now, and all the lights are off so we can see stuff. We're just going around, and the EM meters are going nuts, and the ghost boxes are going nuts, and all these different words are coming out, and it's pretty good stuff. Well, what happens now is, I can't even explain. I'm going over, and I'm saying, this is weird. I'm thinking, all right, I'm feeling cold, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that, and I don't get a good feeling. Now, I'm not really having to take psychedelics that long. I wasn't really into this stuff, but you know when something's there. I mean, everybody gets that feeling that somebody's watching. I get this feeling. It's just creepy in here. And I'm not getting scared, but I'm like, this is creepy. As I'm going through them, and you hear me on the tape saying, I don't know what the heck is wrong with this place, but I get this weird feeling, and I go up, and right in the corner, you ready? I'm going to ask everyone that's listening just to sit down really quick. Okay, good, you're sitting. Was a little scarecrow. The scarecrow was turned around to face the corner. Yes, I'll let you sit that. I'll just imagine that again. The room is blacked out, and I have like the Blair Witch little camera going on here. And it goes up, and there's a scarecrow facing the corner. What gets even creepier now is, as I'm looking at it, and I mention the scarecrow, and I say, okay, that's creepy, the thing starts shaking a little bit. Yes, it started moving. So now, creeped out, I am not scared, but creeped out, because I don't get scared, I just get creeped. I bring the camera down and say, wow, this is really strong here. I mean, there's something really here. I don't know what it is, and now I sweep past the room, and you hear me say, but maybe it's all these books on witchcraft that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
That's it, game over, lights on.
Yeah.
But then, with the lights on, we found something else, and this was even truly creepier. Now, I can show you a picture and say, hey, I see an orb in this picture. What do you see? And you'll think, okay, I see it too because I pointed it out to you. What I did is I looked at the picture and I went, holy. I grabbed the first person and I said, look at this picture. What do you see? Didn't say what I saw. Didn't say anything. And almost every single person says, there's like a evil-looking head above this lady. And it was almost like, I don't want to see D-E-M-O-N-I-C, but it was something that was not happy. I mean, it was something out of, like, Labyrinth or something, you know, that great movie. It wasn't Jennifer Connelly Labyrinth, or maybe it was, like, more like David Bowie. But,
I love David.
Hey, did you see him in Prestige? Plays Nikolai Tesla. Prestige, one of the most amazing movies, but I should go to another blog talk thing just for that. But back to our thing. So we're showing the picture around, and everyone is seeing this head, and I'm like, wow. I didn't influence anyone. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't put any ideas of what they said, but that, again, was totally creepy. And it turns out that this person was dabbling in witchcraft, and this person had this thing hanging around them for a very long time. And there was a bunch of stuff in this house. Most of it was good. Some of it was bad. And what's interesting now is there was good elements protecting the people in that house.
Oh, yeah.
And, again, that's what I love so much about doing the private homes. Because the elements will come in, and they almost become family, in a way. I mean, if they're sitting there looking out for you and helping you out, it's almost like family. But I digress from that. One other one, again, this is going to go around as one of my most favorites, because, again, this was just recently. We were at a building. I'm not going to give any locations, everything in general, but I'm just going to say we are at a firehouse. I'm not going to say which one. Now, in one of the apparatus, it was in the engine, actually, the cool thing was we're sitting there, and again, I still have to go over the tapes for this to pull the audio out for this, but we're sitting there and stuff's going off, and I think you were picking up on a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I'm going to say, okay, everybody lean forward so your backs aren't touching the straps, so nothing can be going. And right by my right leg, by Jackie's right foot, all of a sudden the straps that were hanging down start jiggling. and you picked up on a scratching sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all looking at each other, and like the smiles on our face, like ear to ear, like this is good stuff right here. This is great. Now, the nice thing about that is I don't know if we can truly validate it on the scene, but recently, again, there was a call where something happened in the house, and the only thing that made the house was one of the animals. A couple members performed CPR on the animal. A couple of the members took the animal out, and we think that maybe that animal rode back in the firehouse with us.
Yeah, because that was the engine.
The other cool thing I liked about that is something that Diane picked up in there. And I love this every time I go on a call with the truck. You know, I always talk to, I even though he's not an Indian chief, I call
he's not
him,
a chief, no.
My new nickname for him is Tonto Ride-Along. But what I want to do is I want to see.
You better ask him if he's okay with that name.
Well, I'll let you pull up the pencil, but I want you to talk the story about how you got that.
Oh, well, we were in the cab, and I asked if there was something there with us, and it said yes, and then I said, do you mind us being in here? And it said, yes, it didn't really like us being in the cab. And I said, well, too bad, we're staying here. So you might as well talk to me. But so I asked him if he had been part of the firehouse. And he said, no. And I said, did you live in this area? And he said, yes. And I'm doing all this with the pendulum, and it's answering me. And I said, did you live here before there was a firehouse? And it said, yes. And then I asked, I said, were you one of the people native to this land? And he said, yes. And he basically, as I kept asking him questions, found out that he just liked being at the firehouse. He lived there with his family. He was happy there. And now he liked going on the trucks with the firemen. Because I asked him if he just stayed in the firehouse, and he said no. I said, do you ride out with the trucks? And he said yes. So
that's cool. See, that's
now
the thing.
Now we can validate it on the
show. But that's the cool thing now. I mean, it's not like you have some mystical message or some I'm here for a special purpose. I'm here because it's cool. I don't like to ride the trucks.
Yes.
I mean, how human is that of a spirit?
He was happy there, and that's where he wanted to be, and you built a firehouse on top of it. And So now he just hangs out at the firehouse and waits for the fires.
Nice. All right, next we're going to bring in Charlie right now. Charlie is a member of the group who happened to be home right now, couldn't make it out, but he's joining us live via his awesome cell phone. And hello, Charlie. How you doing?
What do you say, guys? How are you guys doing?
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we're here.
Are you at your home in the island?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you calling in from the island
there?
Here
this afternoon, you know, it's blue water. You know, I got down here. I'm surprised you can't hear the steel drums playing, but yeah, had to come down. I'll probably be back in a few days, you know, just before the Super Bowl.
Nice. Yeah, you better be back
tonight.
In a few days.
I like what we're hearing.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Excellent stuff.
You know what I miss, though? I'm missing the fact
that
nobody talked about the public investigations we had at the cemetery, which were phenomenal.
See,
we had such
that
a great time
why
with that.
We're all talking about our famous ones. Tell us about your favorite public investigations.
Why you're calling, Charlie, so you can tell about the public investigations.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say that, you know, we've had a couple of them since I've been coming to the store. And, you know, it doesn't take much. You just tell a few people about it, and all of a sudden it starts to really ramp up people here, and they want to come. In fact, I just had two people today email me and say, you got to let me know when the next one is. And I was like, yeah, okay. But we have a couple of places we can go around here locally, and as long as we take care of everything and make sure that we leave everything in better shape than we left than when we got there. But to see some of the new people come down, they sit in the office for a little while in the shop just to get some do's and don'ts when we get out there. And then when they get out there, at the end of the night, they show you what they found. It's just phenomenal. We're sitting there in the we've been through it already. We know what we're going to expect. We know what we're going to get. And it's fun, but when the new person gets something, wow, it's very exciting. Mark, you were there, weren't you? Didn't you go on one of these?
No, Mark hasn't been in when we've had one.
I thought he made the last one, but that's right. He was out at sea somewhere.
No, he came in, like, right after. But the last one was amazing with the amount of people that were, you know, we found were interested in, you know, learning about the paranormal or experiencing a... you know, something. And the cemetery ones are, especially, you know, one of the more historical cemeteries, we always get such great evidence and have such great experiences.
Well, you know what amazed me, Jackie? It, what really amazed me was is that while we were out there, and just before we went out and then after we got back and everything, the people that came out, okay, they were all looking. They were all interested. They were all excited about it. And what was it, about maybe 10 or 20% of the people were actually sensitive?
Oh,
remember
yeah.
Remember that?
At least.
A couple of the people
they
come up to you, right? Oh, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, and it was cold that night, too, and we still had, like, an amazing, you know, investigation.
Yeah, it was very cold that night.
I always like going out with people who haven't done it before, and they have so many questions, and you know, how do you use this, and what do you do for that, and I was showing somebody how I use my pendulum, and they had never seen that before, so that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, people were kind of amazed at the size of my pendulum, yeah.
Yeah.
You there? Hello, is this mic working?
Doesn't amaze me, Charlie.
Yeah, no, I know. Nothing amazes you, Diane. Come on.
I was in the Navy.
Yeah. You must have seen quite a few pendulums there, huh? No, but what about the time when we were out at that house out in Brainsville? And we were, I don't think anybody mentioned on the fact, well, it was you, me, Jackie, it was you, me, and Ron, when we were down in the basement. And...
that's right.
We could hear ourselves talking upstairs.
Oh, I remember that. Oh, that
Jack, you
that
remember
was
that?
Freaky.
Yeah, I remember when, I remember it wasn't your face I saw on your face.
Oh, yeah,
but
well,
I
don't know what happened to my face, but yeah, I couldn't see it, but I know you said it was somebody else or something.
I was in a room right off that hallway there, and... I heard all you guys, and I came out to see where you were going next, and there was nobody there. And I said, you know, I'm looking around going, where did they go?
Well, we could hear our voices talking to us, and it wasn't...
You were in the basement already.
We were in the basement, and it wasn't anybody's recorders playing back, and that was really creepy.
But it sounded like you were right next to
it started.
Right on the other side of the door. I got up and I opened the door because I was going to ask you where you were going next because I wanted to go where you had been. And when I opened the door, there was nobody there. And I thought, I just heard a bunch of people over here.
Yeah, there was great stuff there.
That was very weird.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
The most activity that we had when we did it.
All right. We have another call, Charlie. We have Jerry.
All right, hey, listen, I got you dialed in over here, so I'll be listening, all right?
I'm gonna keep you on here because you know your family. We have a new guy, Joe, a random fan, which I absolutely love. We get random fans. Joe, I just talked to, awesome sounding guy, has a little bit to talk about paranormal science mixed together, which fit in perfectly.
Hey,
Joe, you're on the air tonight.
Yes, I am, it's great to be on.
Thank you, man. It's great to have completely random callers call us up and tell us how awesome sauce we are.
Yeah, definitely.
So what do you got for us? You wanted to mention something about paranormal and science and how they kind of like merge together, right?
Yeah, they definitely do, and most people don't realize it. From the EMF detectors that we use to the voice recorders, Spirit boxes, those are all scientific things that we use that help the paranormal investigators out a lot. And I think that in the next decade, I'm expecting more technology for paranormal investigation.
Well, check this out. You're talking about new technology. If you go on the website that's associated with us for eCrypt, you're going to see a custom-made ghost hunting. I can't even explain. Let's just put it this way, ready? You know all that stuff you carry in your bag, all that stuff you got? You got your barometric pressure, you got your EM meters, you got your audio recorders. This doohickey-ma-jigger has got all of that in one awesome little package. Go on, if you follow,
like
look at our site. What's that?
While you were saying that, you know, I kind of reminded myself of Egon from the Ghostbusters.
He was my favorite. He was always my favorite.
Yeah.
Especially when he's talking about the Twinkie. When Egon is going about the Twinkie, man, I tell you what, as a fat kid, I got to associate with that Twinkie. That's a big Twinkie. And it's just to paraphrase Winston, that's a big Twinkie. Now, Joe, I got a couple questions for you. Now, do you do paranormal investigations by you?
Yes, we do.
Nice.
Actually,
what do you use? What is your favorite piece and favorite toy?
Right now, it has to be the EMF recorder, but I also have to say yourself is the best tool.
Yes. Now, because what kind of EMF recorder do you use?
Right now, I'm just using a digital camcorder, and we have been able to catch paranormal activity on a webcam before.
That's cool. I've seen that. You know, I've tried that too. My kids, which is going to be another story down the road, my kids have some sort of a gift. And I tried setting up initially like a regular like Sony Handycam in there with the night shot in there. And what I found was it was tapes because I'm cheap like that. But what I found was the tape would run out in like an hour or so. So I did that. I took my laptop. I took the webcam. I put it on I hooked it up to, not the webcam, I actually hooked up that camcorder to there, and I started recording it that way. I recorded hours and hours and hours of stuff. But it's interesting how we, as investigators now, you know, at first we had to kind of rig our own gear to make everything. It's interesting now with the advent of all these ghost hunting shows on TV that a lot more equipment specifically tailored for us is out there.
Yeah.
It's as if, you know, as a hobby is spurring a huge industry now. It's like how paintball was. You know, I used to play paintball back in the 80s where you have to go to a special little place. Yeah. You had to do like a special place, you know, these little pump guns, and you paid umpteen amounts of dollars, you got 10 shots. Now, I mean, you're buying markers and blister packs and Kmart and Walmart, and it's just everywhere. But that's the cool thing. It's gone. The ghost hunting paranormal investigation has gone from like a hobby to mainstream. I mean, it's accepted science, which is so cool about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and not only that, but Egon Spengler has definitely proved it as an actor. Dan Aykroyd has proved it. Actually, there's a book. Dan Aykroyd wrote a book, and he said, thanks to my interest in the paranormal, he actually stated that the reason why Ghostbusters was made was because his family was so involved with the paranormal anyway.
Excellent. All right, Joe. Well, guess what? I have your number over here. I'm going to write this down for my own personal pleasure. And what's going to happen is we're going to keep a little archive of people that call in. And it's good to hear people that have something interesting to say besides us.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, thank you for calling in. Keep listening to the show. It's going to get better and better as we kept getting a hold of this. All right. Anything from Jackie? No?
Good night, Joe.
Good night, Jack.
Good night.
All right, talk to you later, buddy. Thanks a lot. Thanks
Take
for calling
care.
In. All right. That was awesome. I love hearing from complete random people that associate with what we did. Excellent. All right, so now, really quick, really, really quick out there. Charlie.
Yes, sir.
You are still there.
I'm still there.
What else, again, what else besides the public hunt did you like?
Oh, geez. We've had so many really good ones. I think, let's see. The one that was out in Chihola was very good. Well, you were in the room with us when,
mm-hmm.
when we were using Dave's, what was it, the ghost radar?
Yep.
Right? Now, I really don't know scientifically how that works. It's supposed to measure energies or something and then translate it into words. But we were getting some pretty interesting answers back with that. And then Di works great with her pendulum. And we're all sensitive now to the point, since we've been taking the classes with Jackie, we're all sensitive to the point where we can start to pick up on things in the rooms. I would probably say that one in Chihola was great. I did like the one that was down at the estate down in Pennsylvania. That one was pretty good. But I'm still amazed at the picture that we've got. I think it was on the second floor. Jackie, you remember that picture with the mirror that Ron took?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, that
you
was
remember
awesome.
That picture? He took three pictures in a row of a mirror standing in the corner. And this was a room where I think a woman had burned to death. Was that what happened there?
Yes, she actually died, yeah.
Yeah, she died in this huge, I guess, hallway room area. Well, anyway, I said to Ron, Ron, take a picture of that mirror. And he goes, okay. And he took three quick shots of it. And I think the first shot and the last shot were just a blank black mirror. And the middle shot looked like three apes looking out of the mirror back at us. And
little monkey
none of
heads.
Us, yeah, like monkey, shrunken heads or monkey heads or something.
Yeah, shrunken heads, maybe.
Right? And Ron looked at me and I looked at him and I said, wow, is that a coincidence? There's three of us here, Jackie, Ron, and myself. And there's three heads in the mirror. And it was just, I've never seen anything like that before. Never. It was one of those times where you just felt like, you know, all of a sudden you got a shiver and you had goosebumps. That was really amazing. We did hear quite a few other things in that house, too, though.
Couldn't have been you guys, though, because those monkey. No, this is Diane. I was going to say, it couldn't be you guys, because those monkeys had more hair than you do, Charlie.
You know, that room also had some of us feel really, that room was very uncomfortable. We were feeling like really like sick and like just creepy in there. It was just at the time we saw that, you know, we didn't know at that time we had that picture, but it was just a weird feeling in that room, you know, while we were sitting there.
The whole place was kind of funky feeling when you went in, to around the entire house, I guess, pretty much. But the house that we saw up in, what was that, upstate somewhere? I forgot the one where it was like a summer house. Remember that one? I can't think of the name of the place. Falcon Ridge or something? Was that Falcon Ridge?
The one
they invited us up? And, Jack, you were right on with the owner of the property who was deceased, and his wife and daughter were there. Remember that?
Oh, that's Cragmore. That's
Cragmore. That's it. That was phenomenal that night. Oh, man. The things that we felt and heard, that was just amazing. When you were actually, what were you, like, just beaming in on her husband?
The daughter was with us, walking around with us, and her father really wanted to come through and give her some messages, and so that's the spirit we happened to pick up. Not one of the ones that were, like, the historical figures in the house, but we picked up, you know, her father. I believe we picked up her father and aunt, and they both just had, you know, things they wanted to say to her, and, you know, she felt good and made her happy, and... You know, it was just something that's what happens sometimes.
Do you know what?
I think the interesting thing about it was is that it wasn't, there was no heat in the house, remember? And the water wasn't working in the house because they closed it up for the winter. And it was warm in the house. And every feeling we had from room to room to room was not one of any foreboding or being scared or anything. It was almost like the spirit that was there was welcoming us. You remember that?
Right.
That was fantastic. What a great
Charlie,
house.
You know what's fantastic? I have a surprise for all of you. Live, via internet telephone, I have Vera. The amazing, amazing Vera. Vera,
hi.
How are you doing tonight? Hi, how you
doing?
Good.
Hi, Vera. How are you? Dave's on
good.
The phone,
how
too.
How is everything? Dave is on the phone, too? Oh, my God. This is, like, amazing. We have callers. We have happiness. We have so much fun stuff. Vera and Dave are a couple part of our group. You get one, you get them both. They are both great. Vera gets everything. Dave gets nothing. What I want to know, Vera, is
something now.
We want to know your stories. I want to know what brought you into this whole thing. I want to know what do you specialize in, because the rest of the listeners didn't get to hear all this before. You and Dave are fun. You have so many fun little toys. Dave is just awesome sauce himself. But like I said, I want to hear from both of you. Start with you. What got you into this whole thing?
Well, I always had an interest in it, and Jackie had a course. I felt I didn't know what I was doing, so I wanted to take her course, and I signed up for it, and David didn't want me to drive alone from Pennsylvania, where we live, to down there, so he decided just to be my chauffeur, and then when he got there, he took the course also, and we learned the basics from, I think it was 3 weeks, a couple hours each week, and then, of course, you had to take a test, a written test, and then you had to do a practice ghost hunt, and that's how, you know, I liked that part of it. I had looked at other groups, and none of them offered any education. It was kind of like, I don't want to use the word yahoos, but, you know, people that just were getting together, and they didn't have any education or any, they were just learning by kind of like the seat of their pants, and because of my background as a lawyer, I needed the education first. I didn't want to just go and do stuff. So that's how I got into it. Always was interested in it. Never felt I had any kind of talent for it, but, you know, it seems like, you know, I sort of do okay. So there you go. And then there's
you
my
do
husband.
Great.
thank you. Certainly better
well,
than
we,
I did
we know Dave
before.
Got dragged into it.
Yeah, he did. You're there, Dave?
All right.
Dave?
No, I dragged him in, but I think he likes it now.
See, Dave is not an equipment guy, as you heard just now. He's not the equipment guy. Now, Vera, when you come there, you have a bag full of tricks that you bring with it. What is your favorite piece of equipment, and what do you like to specialize in?
Well, my husband, before we even went down to see Jackie, decided he would get me he put together a kit, of course not knowing everything, so he got me everything. So I have a Mel meter, and I have K2 meter, and all kinds of laser grids and things like that, and dowsing rods, but what I really like is my Sony camera, because I get a lot of stuff with that, and the picture's great, and you get good, you can hear things, you can get, like, EVPs even on the audio when you play it back. So I really, I kind of like that video camera the best.
Yeah. You got a good camera.
What do you like, Dave?
I remember that Shadow Man.
You do. Hey, guys.
I got something.
Where'd he go?
See, I think I saw
that was
shadow.
Cool. Now, talk about beginning
hey, guys,
luck. Now, was that one of your first hunts?
It was one of my first hunts. But,
see, beginner's
you know,
luck, man, I tell you.
Well, the thing that I liked
Vera
about...
Just as sensitive as... You know, she's really good on the sensitive end. She feels a lot now, and sees a lot and hears a lot. So not just
getting
all
better.
Yeah,
under Jackie's tutelage, I am getting better.
Aw, thanks. Yeah, but you know what? You just validate your equipment.
Well, I
have anybody here that. Go ahead, Vera.
Excuse me? I'm having trouble hearing you. What?
Diane? Oh, we have a little delay here, so. That's...
No, I was going to say, I don't think we have anybody here who does provoking, do we? I don't provoke.
Well, the one day I provoked, and you had the dowsing rods, and I provoked once, and the dowsing rods pointed at me, and I stopped. That was the last time I ever provoked.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I was like, and you looked at me like, uh-huh. So I was like, this is not my forte. That just scared me. So.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff.
We'll have to try the dowsing rods the next time. I'd like to get a really good hang on that.
That looks like one of the...
I like them, I think. What, Mark?
Cool. I don't know. Dowsing rods, I always... It's just weird. You just kind of hold them to what the bars just kind of point to the direction of something or...
Wherever the energy is.
Well, they're kind... Yeah, they're... typically, you use them to find water or... pipes in the ground, and people really do find wells that way, and they're dowsers, and they get paid money to go find where the water is on your property. But in paranormal research, they're used to see if there's entities in the room or to speak, sort of like a pendulum, because they'll cross if you have, you can ask yes or no questions of them. So that's basically, it's the same principle as the pendulum.
Nice. Nice. Well, guess what? We have a caller on the line that has a story for us, and I'm sure that this is going to be one kicker of a story.
Okay.
All right. Alicia, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
How you doing, girl?
Good. How you going, baby? Been a long time.
I know. Before you think I have skills with random callers, Alicia is a friend of mine that goes way back to high school. She ended up marrying my best friend. But you said this earlier this afternoon when I was telling you, check out the show, you have a story for us.
I do have a story. Not only that, I see your story and raise you. I actually have a spot where you guys can all go to and check it out for yourself because it's right in New Jersey where
nice.
My story takes place, and it's a beautiful little vacation spot. I feel like I'm plugging the hotel. They should really give me, a free stay for this. But I'm not sure I want to go back anytime
soon. You think
they'll take us
in?
No, it's – I'm sorry? Say that again?
You think they'll take us in?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a possibility. However – it's interesting because there isn't – I was trying to search right before I called to see if there was any, reportings on it because it is such an old hotel. It's in Cape May, and it's called Angel of the Sea. Has any of you heard of it or
– Oh, I think I've even been there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bed and breakfast. It's beautiful. It's really, really pretty. I mean, it's, one of the top bed and breakfasts and everything. It's beautiful. I was there a long time ago with my mother. And we were doing sort of a girl getaway weekend. I think it was right before I went to college. So, Mark, it was right after we graduated.
There
so
you
it would
go.
Have been back in 1995.
You graduated.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. This is a real old story now.
So, yes, we're old. So we stayed in this hotel. And she said, Alicia, the thing is they were so booked up. It was right at the end of the season. We have to switch rooms. We're going to be there for 3 nights, but we can only stay in the one room that I really wanted. It's up in the high, one of the witch's hat, ironically. One of the higher parts of the hotel, we can only stay there the first night. And then the other 2 nights, we have to move downstairs, so a lower room. And I said, I don't care, whatever you can get, that's fine. So we were up there, and we fell asleep, and I really thought that it was, we was in one of those old-fashioned four-post beds, sort of like a canopy bed. And I thought because we were up so high, the wind, and again, you're right on the beach. So I just thought the wind was shaking so violently that the bed was just shaking. And my mother kept, like, nudging me in the night, because we shared a bed, you know. She kept nudging me in the night, going, can you hold still? I'm like, Ma, it's not make. And she's nudging me. And the next morning, she's like, how restless were you? I was like, Mom, I didn't move. The wind was shaking the bed so hard. I'm like, we're up high, and we're on the sea. Thanks for, you know, blaming me. But she's like, oh, okay, because it was really shaking hard. I'm like, I know. So anyway, so the next night, we moved downstairs, and it was actually the room under us, okay? And we were in the room underneath where we were staying for the first night, and I ended up getting food poisoning, which is great. So I had to stay in bed, like, all day, all night, couldn't leave the hotel. It was horrible. So my mom ended up, you know, going out to dinner by herself, and she came back, checked on me, and then she was in the hotel lobby, and she was talking to the night clerk or whatever, and he was telling her, you know, like a bunch of stories and history of the hotel and how it was built in 1850 and this whole thing. Come to find out, when she came back to the room, I was like, Mom, you got to tell them, whoever's in the room, they're, like, moving around the furniture. It's so annoying. Whoever checked in above us, I don't know if they have heavy suitcases, but they're banging on the stairs. They're banging. It's like they're moving around the furniture. It's really annoying. I can't sleep. Please, I'm so sick. The next day, she goes and she complains to them. And the next night, it was the same thing. And she's like, I hear it too. This is ridiculous. So the next day, we go to leave. And I said to him, what did they say when you said that? She said, there's no one in that room. And they have the furniture bolted down because of the horrible storms that they get. So not only was there no one in the room where I thought they were moving furniture and all the loud noises, the furniture was bolted down. They had us go up and look and move it for ourselves, and we couldn't. And they bolted down the furniture because there was a huge storm. It was like in 1962, it was a nor'easter, and it was just like the Sandy, you know, the Hurricane Sandy that we had. That's how bad it was, and it ripped apart most of the hotel, but most of the buildings around it were like flattened, but this one actually remained. But he was telling more stories about how he locks the doors are unlocked, he leaves the keys are moved, he turns on the lights, they turn them off. I mean, a whole series of things came out after she, like, confronted him. He goes, yes, we're actually told not to tell people this because, you know, it, like, sways them from staying in these rooms. But we've had a lot.
Probably
it was not just that room, but several.
That's
now,
cool.
Now, somebody like me, I hear stories like that, and I'm like, sign me up.
I know, right?
I know. I said it could go either way. Sure. You know, I was like, they actually could, you know, use a, you know, if they need a booth. But apparently it's just such a good hotel that I think they think it would hurt them. But, I mean, it's pretty, you know. So, yeah, and they actually, it still remains that it's, you know, very, very, very prestigious and really nice. And they, you know, they're booked all the time. They have, like, 4.5 stars, and now they've upgraded it to flat screens and internet access and wireless and all that stuff. But, I mean, it's really charming. But the stories this kid was telling my mother, it was just goes on and on. She's like, and I didn't want to tell you. I thought you'd want to leave. I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, they're moving the furniture down. These are some buff ghosts. I mean, what do you want to say? Like, they work out. This is serious strength training they're doing in the afterlife. I don't know if they have a membership, but it's pretty... pretty intensely strong.
Did they have any idea who it was?
Yeah, I did. I looked up some of the history where they're saying it was Miss Brown, and that was one of the daughters of the original owners, they think.
Hmm.
They were saying, I was trying to look it up before I called you to see what the report's on, that it was one of the daughters. But, I mean, it has such a amazing history. It was moved in pieces, and, you know, they had to redo it several times.
Oh, yeah.
This is like the hotel that stood the test of time.
Well, I mean, anytime you open up a building or you open up walls, you open up floors, whatever in there, energy-wise, spirit-wise, it's out, baby. It's getting out.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the cool thing. Like, you have all these old hotels that have been around, they picked up all this energy, and then you have these old hotels that have been around and picked up all this energy, and they get renovated, and everything comes out. And it's like the floodgates of Happy Haunting Time just gets wide open there.
That's what
if
I like
you
to
read,
do.
If you read about this hotel and how many times it was disassembled and reassembled, it's amazing how it even, you know, stands today. And again, since like 1850, and it's just been going on and on. They did a major reno, you know, in 1850. They moved it in parts 30 years later, then in 1962 when the storm hit, and then after that, in like 89, they redid it where they had people working 24 hours a day so they can get it back up and running. So, I mean, you can't you can't do all that without, you know, a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. It was pretty intense. I mean, I've had other, you know, little blips here and there with some, you know, experiences. But that was my first, or I should say my only really, like, strong feeling of presence. My God. So,
nice.
You know, it wasn't, and they always said, like, no, it's nothing, like, scary-wise, not, like, threatening-wise, but just definitely notable happenings there.
Vera, what do you think? Should we head down to Cape May and check this place out?
Well, we could, but there's probably a whole bunch of others closer than Cape May, but there's a lot of wanted places in Sussex County.
Let's
read.
Yeah, there's lots. This one's really pretty.
On a really nice, clear, beautiful weekend, would you like to head down to Cape May to a bed and breakfast to do something for a day or so?
For the whole weekend.
For the whole weekend?
Yeah. Sounds
like fun. You're supposed to say, yes, we're going to Cape May, pack the thong.
And we can stay in the Pine Barrens and look for the
Jersey
Devil.
See, we can stay in the Pine Barrens. We can find everybody that Sopranos buried down there. I mean, it can be a multi-pronged, metaphysical power. You know, we can hit the Jersey Devil. We can pull Bigfoot out by his furry little feet.
And it's the Jersey Shore. You can fist pump.
And it's the Jersey Shore, so we can get
shot.
Yeah, how you doing? Oh, man. Oh, you know what? I'm stoked for this. If my wife is listening, honey, we're going to Cape May, baby.
I was just going to tell you, you know what? Grab the kids, grab Kelly, and head on down.
No. I said, honey, not honey and the kids. I said, honey.
Okay.
Well, you know what, though? Hey, we can drop the kids off with you guys. I mean,
you know, because, you know, we don't have our hands full or anything. Well, not like you. We have half your brood.
Oh. I know, right? Hey, after two, it's just another one. So, you know, just practice for later. Thank you so much for calling in and for joining us tonight. You are also an awesome sauce friend of the show, Alicia. I expect
to
be here next.
Thank you. It was fun. We'll have to do it again. I definitely have more stories.
You have more
Take
stories.
Take care.
Well,
have a good night.
There's something I'm going to want to run by you for a show down the line because, as a parent, you would be perfect for this. But thank you so much. Give hugs and kisses to that awesome beefcake of a husband you have over there that I haven't seen for so long. And
now, see,
thank
if
you so
you're
going to
be hitting on my man right in front of God and everybody, you know, I'm not going to be calling your show no more. Okay? I'm just saying.
He was mine before.
You're lucky we go way back, yo. You're lucky. Now, see, you brought the ghetto out in me. All right.
Great.
All right. Much kisses to you and your family.
You.
Bye, guys.
Yes, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So that is awesome right there. Look at that. I love stories about new places. All right, Jackie. So when from like a clairvoyant or from a medium sort of way, when you go on a hunt, do you get anything ahead of time?
You mean... Well, I try to get as little information ahead of time so that I get to go in.
You'd like to go in blind, then? You don't want to...
Yeah.
Okay.
Usually people will give us information, you know, on the basics that are going on, but I like to pick up... You know, sometimes I do, like the one firehouse where they did tell us a few... I had gotten somebody ahead of time, and I did say, is there somebody who passed away? And then the one guy had said, yes, there was actually two, and he gave me those two names. So then we were actually able to ask which one of those it was, and we didn't get answers to that. So then that's a different story.
Okay.
Which I do that sometimes when I'm already picking someone up. Right. But for the most part, I like to be like every other investigator. That's what's a little different with me. I don't like to be the psychic that walks around with the group and gives you all the details and all the information. I like to do the investigating part as well, so I like to be surprised and get my information on the voice recorder and things as well. So I try to mix both together.
What about the history of a place? How deep do we delve into the history of a place before going in?
Usually what we do is we'll research the property. You know, we'll either go into the, go through the records and get previous owners. A lot of times most of the time, we get that information from the homeowners because they usually know how pretty far back their property goes. And, you know, a lot of them have an idea of the occurrences that are going on and why they are. So a lot of times we'll get the information from them. But we do get, you know, for the most part, most of the information that's on the, you know, the age of the house, any of the previous owners, what the property might have been used for beforehand. And a lot of times, we, you know, then we know where pieces fit in when sometimes we do get Native Americans, yet we'll get, you know, people who have lived there. So like,
I get Native Americans all the time.
Yeah,
they
and,
like
and everyone resonates with different energies, so that's why, you know, some people tend to pick up things that...
I think what surprises people is that, you know, when I tell people I do that, they think that spirits are only in old buildings. And it's like, no, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
They can be in a new house that they just built last year, you know. It's they could
oh,
be
absolutely.
Attached to the land. They could be attached to people. They can be attached to objects. They can just be passing by and feel comfortable and decide to stay a while.
Yep. You know, we have never gone on an investigation and not gotten evidence. Ever.
Oh, yeah.
Never once.
Always. There's
and
always something.
We've done hundreds and hundreds of investigations.
I think most of the time they're just, you know, what's there is just usually very quiet, and they don't really let people know that they're around.
Mm-hmm.
But even when we went to, like, the Battle of Minisink, that
yeah.
battlefield.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of things there. And
you remember when we were by the tree? It was just you and I, and we heard a woman's voice.
Yeah.
But on the recorder, it was she was speaking German or something. It was a different language.
Yeah.
And, but we heard her. We were like, what is that? We could hear somebody talking. And it was we were talking about how old the tree was, too.
Yeah.
Right at that moment.
And then the one when we were on the Appalachian Trail.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
one. So you don't even have to be in an old place. It's all around you.
No, because
all the
new places are built on old land.
That's true.
You know, a lot of the spirits and activity are from the property itself. You know, sometimes it's from the people there.
Yeah.
They're brought in with them. They're, you know, every single resident, you know, structure or building has something in it. And people always have spirits with them. You know, whether it be, you know, loved ones or guides or whoever, but there's always somebody there, and if they know you can communicate with them or they want, that you do want to communicate with them and they're okay with you, your energy, and they're gonna communicate. You know, that's why we've never had an issue getting evidence. Like,
yes.
We've never left an investigation disappointed, ever.
No.
Never once.
There's always somebody there, sometimes.
There's usually a lot of people there.
When we were doing
sometimes,
that fire?
Sometimes we've left and not thought we had anything, and then
yeah.
discover it later. Though that's happened to me a couple of times. Like, you know, I don't think I have anything, and then I listen and I've got all sorts of stuff, or I look on the video and I've got all sorts of things floating around. So
yeah,
that's cool when you can get it real time like that. I like that.
That's the best way though. Like when you do go listen, you're like, oh my god, I can't believe I got this. Oh my god, we're always like. Did you hear that? Can you believe this? It's exciting.
Like, I thought it was so quiet the last one that we did, and then I look at my video, and there's orbs, like, shooting into you, Jackie, you know, like, in different rooms. And I'm like, I didn't see that on the camera when it was an inch big, but when I put it on the computer and it's, you know, 12 inches on the screen, I can see all of that, you know?
Yeah, there was a lot of activity there, which is great.
All right, so we have another caller on the air. We have Ann. Ann is local to the area. I'm not going to say where she's from. She can say that if she wants. But she has stuff going bumping in her house, too. So I'm going to bring Ann on the air. Ann, are you there?
Hi, yes, I am. How are you?
Oh, Ann, I
Hello?
Am so happy to hear your beautiful voice
Hello,
tonight. How
Ann.
You doing? There's a little bit of delay because of the Internet, but I tell you what, that's how we roll over here. Give us a little history about what's going on at your place.
Well, we went to see a house to buy, perhaps to buy this house, and there we had no idea what went on in this house, but it was a very reasonably priced house. So my husband went in. I had this feeling not to go in. He went in the house. When we came home at night, we didn't think anything of it. We came home at night. We started getting a feeling and seeing things. My husband saw something, then I saw like something out of the corner of my eye walk past me. And this was happening for a couple of weeks. One day the whole family was by the table and we all started to discuss like what we had seen and witnessed. Nobody knew. None of us knew that each of us had seen anything. And we were like, oh, yeah, I saw that. Oh, yeah, this happened to me. And my son, actually, it spoke in, like, this weird kind of voice. And it freaked him out. It really freaked him out. We came to learn that the man that was in that house hung himself.
Oh,
ooh.
My God.
Ooh, ooh, I just got to chill. I just got to chill. Yeah. Now,
is he still there?
Yeah, right. Is he still there? Jackie, tell us, is he still there?
We kind of prayed him away. You know, we were like, okay, you can leave now. And I think we had contacted somebody or somebody had suggested that we just pray and tell him to go where, you know, where he needs to go. And we did that, and he went away. But periodically, he revisits. And periodically, we then again have to pray him away again. So it's an odd thing.
Now, what are the kind of interactions do you have with him?
Well, my son, he woke my son up. He spoke, like I said, he was buzzing in his ear, like buzzing in his ear. And then what he would do is when my son would get up to go to the bathroom, he'd run across the room. That would be downstairs. Up here, it would be more, he would just walk across the dining room, walk across the living room. I'm not sure what you saw, Jim. What did you
see? I saw something on my peripheral. I saw gold, like a flash of light.
You heard him? My husband said that in his peripheral, there'd be like a flash of light.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like a flash.
Do you know who it was? Do you have a name for him?
I don't. I probably could get the name because it was a local. It was a local man. But I don't know who he was. I've never. We used to see him riding around with a German Shepherd all over Warwick, but not. I don't have a name. I don't know. But strangely enough, that was him, we think. We asked a few people, and they...
Does he stay because he likes the house, or does... Oh, I was going to say, does he stay or come back to visit because he likes the house, or because he likes you and your family? Do you know?
I don't know. We don't know. I have no idea. It's interesting, though. It's scary.
Well, I would say it's always scary if you let it be scary.
Yeah, we let it be pretty scary. I think if it was one of us, you know, and none of us, if it was one person and we didn't speak to each other, then it wouldn't be too bad. You kind of could blow it off like you're imagining it. But the fact that all of us came together and kind of talked about it and made us all like, whoa, this is really real. You know, this is really happening. It was
now,
odd.
Do you feel anything else in the house, or it's just that one thing?
Actually, I'm not really sure. I don't know how to differentiate. I don't know who's who or what's what, but sometimes I do get the feeling that there's a woman. My mother has woken up. My mother lives with us, and she's 94, and she's pretty alert. And she's woken up for years in this house, saying that there's a little girl at the foot of her bed. But this house is a new house, so I don't, no little girl passed away in this house. it's not new, but in the 80s.
There can always be things associated with the property. One thing that's interesting is no matter how new the building is, like at the firehouse, we have Tonto Ride-Along. You know, Tonto Ride-Along is with the property. He loves riding on the trucks to calls. You know, he was never a firefighter. He was never a member there. He was never in one of the houses that we went into. We just associated with the property. Now, that's what you could have. And the other thing, too, is when people come around, people bring stuff with them left and right. I mean, you walk into a room and you have spirits like baggage. They just carry along with you. Now, some of them are family members. Some of them, you just get that. But some of them just might be walking by and say, hey, I kind of like you. I like your energy. I'm going to tag along. And that's what happens. And sometimes these spirits will hop from person to person to person. They're like swinger spirits, I guess. I mean, they're just going all around. That's what probably happens. I mean, it could be something associated with the property. It could be something buried on your property. Ooh, that's always kind of fun. But that's the cool thing about it. And I don't know what to say with it. That's what it could be. I mean, it could be something else. We're going to come down there. We're going to take a look, and we're going to see what you got. But if that's it, I have another caller on the line also, Jennifer, who's got stuff going on in her house, and we want to hear this little interesting story.
Sure. That would
all
be
right.
Great.
Oh, and I just got a message from Jackie that some hop through the phone lines. That's why she's doing the stage dance around the table right now. I tell you what, I pray cops not outside. All right, Ann, thank you very much. We'll be in touch, and enjoy the show if you're listening.
Good night, Ann.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Good night, guys. Thank you.
Good night. All right, now, friends, we have another person here, Jennifer. Jennifer, you there?
Hello, guys. How are you this evening?
Jennifer, I just want to say you sound amazing.
Oh, wait, thank you. I'm a little under the weather, but hanging in there.
You know what? Half of our group is under the weather. I mean, I think it has something to do with all that snow down south. Or if
it
not,
could
I'm
very well be.
It could very well be. Jennifer, now, we've talked a little bit before. You've actually contacted us, and we've seen your pictures. I wish I should have put them up there. But tell us now, since you had the initial contact with us, there's more stuff going on. I didn't share it with the rest of the group yet, but there's more stuff going on in your humble abode.
There is. I don't know if I mentioned to you the one day how we're all sitting in the dining room just getting done eating dinner. Next thing you know, water starts running in the kitchen. Nobody's there. The best is that when the dog starts just growling and staring towards our front door, and as you saw in that one picture, I caught that nice little orb in there, which was pretty cool. But yeah, I'm always hearing different noises and creaks and keeping me up all hours of the night now, which is pretty cool. I'm very into this stuff.
Well, I'm going to give you a little warning. Sometimes when things know that we're coming, they get a little excited.
It gets a little busier.
And since we've talked about doing your house, we're going to try to get to it before I head back out to sea. But when, even over here, I mean, if we have a practice, we call them practice investigations because it's just like training room in here with all the stuff. When we set up a practice investigation, stuff starts getting a little antsy in the pantsy in the store. So now they might even know that, hey, listen, somebody might be coming to talk with us, and they're getting happy. It's like this. You have kids?
I do not, just the dog.
Just the dog. Okay, even better.
Just the dog.
But she's into this stuff, so they're attuned. They know they can communicate with.
Imagine this, right? I want you to go to your dog right now and just open up a can of food. Just hold it in front of him and see how incredibly AP goes, because he knows he's getting that food. He's getting that stimulation. These spirits are doing the exact same thing. You just opened up a can of talk to them, and we're going to come down.
Oh, definitely.
We're going to talk. We're going to play. We're going to have a great old time. I mean, these things are going to, it's going to be like, I don't know, like Wild West City over there. Remember the Wild West City commercials with Uncle Floyd as a little kid? It's going to be like that.
Pretty strong that they're
yes.
Yes.
That's great.
That is cool. I think we're going to get some.
They're interactive.
Yes.
That's
going to be fun. That's going to be, I'm going to get the thermal camera again. Hopefully we can get like footprints across the floors and everything, but that's cool. Now, what else is going on there, too? Is there anything else besides this? I mean, smaller things.
I'm sorry, what was that? I didn't hear you.
Is there, you talked to some of the big things. Are there any subtle things going on also?
You know, I can't even think off the top of my brain at the moment.
That's all right.
I know there's two things I'm trying to
Do you have, like, cold spots in the house? I mean, I know we're going through a deep freeze thanks to thermal cooking, but, I mean, do you have
Definitely the living room.
The living room. Now, have you done any kind of investigation or research on your own into this?
I never have. I never really thought too much of it. You know, when I first moved into the house, ironically enough, I had said I felt that somebody had passed away. And when we had met the original owners, he is the one who did say to me, you know, I hate to tell you this, standing in my dining room, that he did lose his wife in the house. So that kind of, you know, put me at ease there, knowing that I was right. But, like, there'll be days that I'll see shadows walking in the hallway. The one day I just saw, like, a pair of brown pants walk down the hall.
Awesome.
But I didn't catch anything out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Vera, you hear this shadow thing, man? You bring that camera. You're going to catch him, Vera. You're going to catch him again.
I'm there.
That's cool. See?
Yeah, I really need to start making a journal because it happens much more often than I think.
Nice.
And then, ironically enough, my uncle was telling me that he had met with a medium, and they told him that how my father, because my father passed in April of 06, is always coming to him and to protect him. So there's like a whole bunch of other things that, you know, I think of, but I don't even go into detail with you guys yet on that. But I was in a car accident in 2006 in March, right before that. And then a month later, he had passed away. He went in for a hernia operation. So it's kind of like kind of creepy that, you know, here I am, 34 years old. They kept me, but they took him who was ill. So I definitely believe that, you know, he's part of it there, you know, checking in on us and all, which is pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, there's always going to be something around us. And I always wonder, like, I have friends that passed recently, and I'm thinking, are they hanging around me too, you know? And, I mean, they just passed, and it's like, well, no, he was young, he was my age, but is he up there partying, or is he hanging around us, you know, trying to live vicariously, literally, through us again?
Oof.
But, and it just boggles the mind with all that. Now, here's the other thing I wanted to mention when you talked about things in the house. When people, I you know, again, this is what makes me a horrible ghost hunter, because I have some weird opinions on things. When people say, oh, it just happened recently, or somebody died years ago, you figure, how old is this planet? I bet you, no matter where you are sitting, something has died there. And
oh, probably.
That's why I always say,
no matter where you are. There's always activity somewhere.
There's always been activity somewhere. Somebody says, oh, somebody just died here, I always say, okay, but was it traumatic? Was that energy imprinted in the house? And that's another thing, you know, I always wanted to mention with hauntings. When you have a haunting, I mean, we'll learn together. Is there a classification, like, if a house is haunted or if it just has activity or if it's just residual energy floating around? I mean, do we follow those classifications or is it just, you know what, you got something?
Oh, yeah, we usually tell people if it's an intelligent spirit, they're answering us back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting answers to our questions. When it's somebody where we can pick up information, like we know there's something there, but it feels like it's a pattern, or somebody seeing somebody walking back and forth, we can tell the difference between residual energy and, you know, an intelligent energy.
So what do you think?
People always have things with them. As Charlie was just talking about when we were up in Cragmore, there were other figures that were in the house that were from hundreds of years ago, but there was also crossover loved ones with the homeowners that were in the house as well.
Yeah.
So you're going to pick up whichever spirit wants to come through is what you're going to pick up.
Cool.
You know? And every investigator resonates with different people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some might interact with others that maybe, you know, some don't interact so much with someone in particular. Maybe they don't fit so much with their personality.
They like me because I'm happy.
Yeah, it seems everybody has, like Diane, you know, was saying that we had two different spirits up in the attic in the one, mm-hmm. and, you know, their group got one and our group got another. It happened.
Do you own a digital camera? Of course you own a digital camera. Everyone owns a digital camera.
I do.
Exactly. What you could do, actually, an iPhone or a smartphone. I would say I'm the only person without a smartphone. Not that my brother is a VP of Samsung. Oh, no, Dan doesn't have a smartphone either. But I have this old Samsung flip phone, and every time I try to go to, like, buy something for my wife, I was like, oh, we'll sell you a new phone. And my selling point is I've run it over with my truck three times. What can that cool smartphone do if I run it over my truck? But there are things that you can download, like
the apps,
Ghost Radar. Now,
really?
What's cool? Oh, Mufasa. Ready? I am going to blow your mind. What this thing does, my wife has it too, and it's fun to play with, is it gives you this little radar screen, bing, bing, bing. And when you look at it, you set it down, you just let it sit for a little bit. Now, when you see a blip come up, I want you to look, because sometimes it will pick up outlets or different power sources. But put it on your phone, sit it down, and just watch what happens. You'll see stuff going. It also has the ghost box,
the words on it.
This is the freaky deaky. This is all free now. What the words does is the phone will pick up changes in the EMF fields around you. And
get out of here. I definitely want to know what that is.
Those fluctuations will create a word. And you could actually have sometimes conversations like that. Again, I'm going to let you sit down before I go on with talking about this because it's going to freak you out. But you could actually have conversations like this. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And when it does, man, it blows your mind. The other thing you can do.
I'm excited.
Yes.
Well, I didn't actually think it worked until on two separate occasions it actually spelled out the last name of one of our members in our group. And,
oh, my goodness.
I thought it was just, I thought it was just like words in a database that, you know, popped up randomly. And I thought, you know, well, this is fun, but it wasn't, you know, anything really significant. But when it did that, those aren't like words that would be in a database anywhere.
And I tell you, so, Horowitz Lichtenstein Streiselberg is a very long last name spelled randomly. But, yeah, these things you have, I mean, there's so much stuff out there. Like we were just talking about before how ghost hunting has become, or paranormal investigations has become gone from a hobby or a novelty to pretty much a fledgling industry. So you take these apps, do something in your house, just put it down. What I want you to do, too, is just get a camera and just start snapping pictures. And send them to us. But snap pictures. Just like, for some reason, I'm thinking the hallway. Are you thinking hallway?
Her whole house.
Your whole house has got
the
stuff.
The living room has it just happened to be like a favorite place.
Okay.
So that's why.
So try it there.
The living room is where the knob is.
Go for it. Download it. You know what? Talk to my wife. She'll tell you exactly what they get because she has it. Put it on the thing. Sit down and have some creepy fun tonight. And then send us an email and let you know. But it's so much fun. You can start the process off. But I am so happy to hear that story, and I'm so happy to hear that there's more going on, and I'm so happy to know that now that these things know that we're coming for them to talk, to play, to have fun, your house is going to be
definitely more prominent.
Oh yeah, you're gonna feel things in there now. Just the fact that they know that you know that we know that you know, they're gonna start getting excited. Diane's looking at this funny little thing.
I have no idea.
The only
and me both. So what you got to do is, again, just send my wife a message. Make sure it's okay for me to date to get down there. She books she books it all. And we'll get going with that. But you're going to be one of the tops of the list now, I think, with all this stuff going on. But anyhow, it is almost that time. I know we said 2 hours, but we cut it a little bit short because we don't want to kind of get any dead air going on
cut
there.
Cut anybody off in the
but
middle of their story.
I want to thank you for being our final caller for the evening. I want to apologize for freaking you out ahead of time after you download this app, and it's 3 a.m. and you're still sitting there looking at it, you know. But
it's
going
to give me something to do since I haven't been able to sleep lately, so that'll be fun.
There you go. Well, listen, I'll still probably be up playing video games till 3 a.m, so just send me something on Facebook, and I'm like, yeah, you got it. But
awesome. It's really been
myself.
A pleasure speaking with you guys.
I'm so happy we got to talk to you.
Thank you for calling in.
And for all our listeners, I want you to know that Jennifer's voice sounds amazing. Absolutely amazing.
thank
all right,
you.
Jennifer. Thank you so much. You have a good
have
night.
Have a great
and we'll
night, and I will talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Well, everyone out there listening in Internet Radio Land, it is time for us to bid adieu. I know we've had a lot of fun tonight. We shared a lot of stories. We shot a lot of them. But all good things must come to an end. So from Mark.
Jackie. And Diane.
Oh, we're going to do this one
Vera.
More time. And, all right. I'm gonna, Vera, ready? I'm just going to point to you and say, and Vera.
And Vera.
All right. There we go. Normally, it's the point fest going around. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. I want to thank all our new friends for tuning in and listening. Hopefully, you come back for next week's show. Now, Jackie, really quick, what's a preview of next week's show we talked about?
Next week's show is Psychic Development, Awakening Your Intuitive Side.
So listen to this. So all of you people that want to know the winning lottery numbers, you're going to have to tune in for the entire show, and we're going to teach you how to figure out those winning lottery numbers. So there's so many people that listen to this show. We're all going to hit Mega Millions, and after
and
taxes,
we can answer any viewer questions.
Yes, we can definitely answer viewer questions. Listen, here's the thing: psychic development, it's real. I'm doing it, and I, like I said, I figured I'm the last person you would profile to be a ghost hunter or psychic, but it's amazing what you pick up and what can get validated. So again, from our store to your home, we'd like to say, have a very good night. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week, same time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.